We're going to continue just searching into the theme of what God is doing on the earth right now in preparing His bride and making a bride ready for that day, bringing her forth in the fullness of love and the fullness of the knowledge of who she is. There are two things that the Lord is doing more than anything in the earth right now to begin just awakening His bride to make herself ready for the wedding day. He's revealing the beauty of Himself just to stir our hearts and to motivate us to lay hold of Him. And He's revealing the identity of who we are. And tonight I want to start looking at just that identity of who we are in Christ, the glory of who God has made us to be. Revelation chapter 5 is a passage that the Lord has just written on my heart. It's the passage where Harp and Bowl worship comes from. But it's talking about the end of the story, the end of the day. The saints will be bowing down before the Lord and singing a new song. And a new song means there's a new revelation. When a new song comes out of our lips, it's because a new revelation has gone into our hearts. And we sing, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, who redeemed us to God out of every tribe and tongue and people, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." And one of the things that the Lord is really stirring across the earth right now is just the knowledge of who we are as a kingdom of priests, of who we are created to be, and who He's called us to be as His bride. The scripture uses all sorts of different pictures for who we are in God, but the bride is the one that God chooses to use over and over again at the end of the story. It's kind of that climactic revelation of who we are, because it captures those two great realities of who we are in God, that we were made for intimacy, that we were made for nearness with God, and that we were made for partnership. We were made to know the things that are on His heart and to partner with Him from the place of friendship. And this week I want to look at that reality of nearness, because it is such an awesome reality that we almost never take appropriate time to realize what it is that God has invited us into, specifically in the new covenant, with His Spirit dwelling inside of us. From the very beginning, we see God desiring to dwell with man. And God plants a garden in Eden, sets man in it, and then walks into that garden Himself. God desired to be near us. And then in Israel, God does something far more dramatic than that. Having lost that nearness through sin, God chooses out a people for Himself, a peculiar people and a holy nation. And He says, "I will dwell among them." The very first thing God does when He makes covenant with Israel is He instructs them to build Him a dwelling place, to build Him a tabernacle. And much of what we're seeing, but what's stirring in the heart of the bride right now, is that desire to build God a dwelling place, to build God a tabernacle. It was at the heart of the covenant. God says, "Build me a tabernacle, and there I will meet with the children of Israel." Exodus 29, verse 43. "I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle will be sanctified by my glory. So I will consecrate the tabernacle of meeting in the altar. I will also consecrate both Aaron and his sons to minister to me as priests. I will dwell among the children of Israel and will be their God. And they shall know that I am the Lord their God who brought them up out of the land of Egypt, that I might dwell among them. I am the Lord their God." God says they're going to know that I brought them up out of the land of Egypt so that I may dwell among them. God didn't work deliverance in the land of Egypt just for the sake of delivering Israel. He brought them out so that He could meet with them. He brought them out so that He could dwell among them, so that His glory could rest in their midst. And the very function and purpose of God's chosen people was to carry His glory and to be His dwelling place. And it's a theme that carries through until the very end, when in Revelation 21, the church is described as the New Jerusalem, as the dwelling place of God. We are the place where God is going to take up rest. God takes up residence in the hearts of those who love Him and worship Him and adore Him. But really, the model more than anything for what God is stirring in hearts right now is David, in the tabernacle of David. In Acts 15, it says that God will rebuild the fallen tabernacle of David in the last days. And the tabernacle of David made a dramatic shift to what it looked like to house God's presence. When Israel had the tabernacle and God's presence was dwelling among them, the fullness of His glory, God literally dwelt in the glory cloud and the pillar of fire in their midst. They had all sorts of regulations about what they could and couldn't do because God was in their midst, because holiness was dwelling in their midst. And God wanted them to honor and to not treat as common the reality of what was in their midst. And so there was a veil around the Holy of Holies, where the presence of God was, that the high priest could only enter one day a year, and that only by the blood of sacrifice. And every time the high priest went in, they tied bells around his ankles, so that if he messed up and got struck dead, they could pull him back out. Into that scenario, David brings the Ark of the Covenant, the presence of the Lord, and sets it down in the middle of an ordinary tent and surrounds it with a bunch of musicians and singers. No curtain, no veil, the glory of God and humanity directly around it. As David got a revelation of where it was going and what it was all about, that God desired to dwell in man, that God, the house that God ultimately wanted was built of flesh and blood, was made of humanity. It was hearts that worshipped Him and adored Him. And all of the symbolism of the Mosaic Tabernacle was to picture that heart of worship and that heart of adoration that could contain the glory of God. And tonight we're going to be meditating on Psalm 132, which is this great cry from David. He says, "I will not rest or give sleep to my eyelids until I have found a resting place for the Lord Most High." And until God has a dwelling place in the midst of His people, I will not rest and I will not stop. God gives us the dignity of laboring in the place where He dwells, of building Him a house. From the very beginning, Adam gets set in the garden and God tells him to tend the garden and keep it. A garden that waters itself, that's filled with fruit trees of every kind, that has no weeds, has no scorching sun, but Adam gets the assignment to tend it and to keep it, because it's the meeting place of God and man. It's the place where God and man come together and meet. And our highest assignment as a priesthood of believers is maintaining the place where God's glory dwells. Opening up that invitation for God to come and dwell in our midst. And the revelation that David got in Psalm 22 is that that happens through praise. He says, "You are holy, God of Israel, enthroned upon the praises of your people." That God's dwelling place is in the place where praise is found. It's in the place where worship is found. And one of the glorious things about 24/7 prayer, which is prophesied over and over again in the Word, is that it shifts our paradigm of what prayer is about, of why we come together to pray and to worship. Because if we're just here to contend for the breakthrough, we can ask God for the breakthrough in about 30 minutes and be done. It's not about just asking God for the breakthrough. It's a ministry unto the Lord. We're here to create a place where God is loved, where God is adored, and to minister unto Him as a kingdom of priests for all of eternity, when there's no more problems, when there's no more crisis, we'll still be ministering to God as a kingdom of priests. We'll still be ministering to Him in His tabernacle in prayer and worship. Because it's a ministry to God. The glory of who we are is that we're able to touch the heart of God. We're able to minister to God. That as we worship and as we pray, God sees and God responds. That it moves the heart of God and it invites His presence to come into our midst. And the Lord is stirring up that cry of David that says, no rest until God finds rest. No rest until we've made a place where together as a people, God is comfortable and invited and welcomed in our midst, where He is forever adored and forever loved, and we're forever standing in agreement with all of His ways and all that's on His heart. We're created for the presence of God, to minister to Him, to be before Him. And the ministry of priesthood is about creating that place that is sacred, that is set apart in our hearts and in our gatherings. And when we gather here, we're setting apart a place and a time and a body of people for the presence of the Lord, for the Lord to be worshipped. Moses so understood the purpose of the nation of Israel. In Exodus 33, after Israel has just built the golden calf after the Lord gave the Ten Commandments, and God relents and says He's not going to destroy them, but He suggests that they get as far away from His glory as they possibly can so they don't get destroyed. And Moses says, no way. We do not leave here unless Your presence goes with us, because if Your presence is not among us, then there is nothing that distinguishes us from the rest of the earth. If it is not for Your presence, Your glory in our midst, then we have nothing that is different from the rest of the earth. And I have a picture in my mind, just as a reminder to myself, of what it looked like to worship in Moses' day. What it looked like to go to church in Moses' day. And when you step in to the temple, the tabernacle, the church, and instead of your eye being caught by the preacher, the priest, the Levites singing their songs, instead of your eye being caught by the crowd of worshipers around you, there's a pillar of fire coming out of the midst of the Holy of Holies. The glory of God is in the midst of the temple, and there's no forgetting what You're there for. There's no forgetting who it was that we came to meet, who it was that we came to worship, and who it was that we came to adore. And the Lord's wanting to restore that to our hearts, that we walk in to every meeting with an expectation of encountering the Holy God, with an expectation and a purpose of ministering unto Him, of creating a place for His glory, of creating a habitation for the glory of God. And as it happens more and more, we're going to see His presence more and more. We're going to see His power more and more. We're going to touch His heart more and more. The glory of God is going to fill His temple. But tonight, just as we meditate on that passage, David's heart, I just want to ask the Lord to just stir that cry in us. That cry that's knit into who we are, because it's who we were created to be. It says we were made for the presence of God, to prepare in our hearts a place of encounter, to prepare in our worship and praise a place of encounter where God's glory can dwell, where God can meet with man. That our churches would become places of meeting. That our worship will become a throne for the presence of God, that God's glory would fill his temple, and his people would be distinguished by his presence among us. It's who he created us to be, and it's what he longs to give us. So we want to ask him for that heart cry. Father, I ask you tonight, God, that you would give a spirit of wisdom and revelation and knowledge of you, that you would open the eyes of our understanding to the hope of your calling, to the glorious riches of your inheritance in the saints, your exceeding great power on behalf of those who believe. God, tonight I ask that you would open our eyes to see your glory, that you would open our eyes to see the glory of who we are as vessels of that glory, as those made to be your dwelling place, as those inhabited by the fullness of God, as your spirit dwells within us. God, show us the glory of who we are as priests before you, created to minister to your heart, able to touch the eternal. Show us the glory of who we are as your very temple, your dwelling place, together as a body, individually, the temple of the Holy Spirit. God, write upon our hearts the high calling who you created us to be. That we were made for encountering God. We were made for meeting with you. We were made for discovering your presence. God, I ask that you would put a restlessness in our hearts. That we would not rest until you have found a resting place. We would not rest until your presence is commonplace. Until your presence is consistent in our midst. God, that every time that we gather, you would set before our eyes your glory, your presence. You would remind us of who we're here for. You would remind us of what we came for. That every time we gather, that our hearts would be offered as that sacrifice, that living sacrifice of praise that ministers unto the Lord, that maintains his temple. God, I ask that you would put light upon the ministry of worship, upon the ministry of prayer, like we have never known before. That suddenly the understanding of what we're doing would be written not only upon our minds, but upon our hearts. That every time we open our lips, we're touching the heart of God. That every time we gather and set aside time for you, we are inviting your presence. We're creating a place where you are comfortable. God, I ask that you would write upon our hearts the reality of the hope of your calling, the glory of what it is that we do, who we are created to be. God, that we would stand before you, hearts ablaze in the knowledge of who we are, and who you created us to be. God, I ask that you would take the mysteries of heaven, the mystery of how your heart is moved by weak and broken human beings, that you would write it upon our hearts tonight. That we have a function and a purpose in your eternal plan, in your eternal kingdom, and it is to be your resting place. It is to be the place where you dwell, the people in whose midst you walk, the praise upon which you are enthroned. God, stir our hearts for that vision. Stir our hearts for that reality. To cultivate a meeting place. To tend the garden of our heart. To cultivate a place of meeting with God. To labor to build you a house, a place where you can rest, for the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. May you find a resting place in this city. May you find a resting place in our hearts, in our homes, in our churches. May you find a place where your glory is welcome, and Lord, where hearts are carried before you, where incense rises before you, and your glory dwells. God, stir our hearts tonight, the hope of your calling, the glory of our priesthood, the glory of being your dwelling place. God, write it in us tonight, write it upon your people, in this city, this nation, up to the ends of the earth, from the rising of the sun to the going down of the same. The name of the Lord be made great among the nations. Let incense arise in every place, a fragrance of worship, a fragrance of sacrifice, inviting your presence to the earth. Lord, you are worthy of that day. You're worthy of that reality. Come quickly, and may our hearts not rest until it does. Stir us for that vision, God. Stir us for that hope. In Jesus' name, would you come and write that vision upon our hearts. Show us the hope of your calling tonight, Lord. But I ask you, every mundane moment, every weak and broken prayer meeting, every time of worship, every time the word, every quiet time, God, bring it to our memory, and all that you prove we are in you, the reality of Christ in us, the reality of what's being cultivated, what's being planted, what's being grown. The resting place is being made. God, two are becoming one. God, I ask that you would stir in our hearts the cry that's in yours, the desire of Jesus, that we would be with him where he is. God, put an echo in our hearts, a longing for him to be with us where we are. Presence become our exceeding passion. Laying hold of him become our greatest desire. God, I ask that beyond any level of experience or what we currently know, God, that you would write upon our hearts who we are created to be, the hope of our calling. That even in the days where it's not real, it seems so far away, where it's so mundane, that our eyes would see the hope of our glory. We are made to be a dwelling place for God, we are made to minister to him. We are a kingdom of priests. God, may we see it and lay hold of it. May you find for yourself a dwelling place in the city. Find for yourself a dwelling place in our hearts. God, may you find an open invitation, hearts longing, hearts reaching, hearts laboring to build the house of God, to prepare for you a place, to open wide the door, the King of Glory may come in. Stir your presence, your hunger, to be before you, to minister to you, God, even as you already have and already are, in so many hearts, God, would you increase that word, that our hearts would lay hold of the identity of who we are in you, and we would lay hold of our calling as a priesthood of believers, that your house would become a house of prayer, and your people would be filled with joy in your house of prayer. God, that our hearts would come alive in the place of ministering to you, in the place of meeting with you, in the place of maintaining your dwelling place. God, I ask in Jesus' name, write your identity upon your house. Call us forth as a priesthood of believers.